This episode is brought to you by Google Gemini. With the Gemini app, you can talk live and have a real-time conversation with an AI assistant. It's great for all kinds of things, like if you want to practice for an upcoming interview, ask for advice on things to do in a new city, or brainstorm creative ideas. And by the way, this script was actually read by Gemini. Download the Gemini app for iOS and Android today. Must be 18 plus to use Gemini Live.
This is Matt and Myron, the podcast.
Well, the show is called Sunday Morning, but it's actually, at least for Jake and me, Sunday afternoon. But welcome into Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tap in at 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Jake Asman here with you, along with Tanitra Batiste. Happy Father's Day to you guys out there. Hope that you are enjoying your Father's Day, and hope that you are enjoying the Sunday Morning Show with us today. Listen, there is a big game that is tipping off as we speak, Jake. It is the Indiana Fever versus the Chicago Sky. They're playing out in Indiana at Bainbridge Fieldhouse this afternoon. The odds by ESPN Bet have the Fever at 2.5 under. And speaking of that, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese has become that rivalry, right? You're looking at even the Rookie of the Year, where it's gone back and forth between those two players and a couple of others in Cameron Brink and Rakia Jackson. But ultimately, seems like it's coming down to the wire, at least for this first half of the WNBA season, with these rookies, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Caitlin Clark is a minus 550 favorite to win Rookie of the Year, with Angel Reese right there with her. So I think this is going to be one of those great games, and a game where the Sky have an opportunity here. Of course, they've dropped a couple of games and kind of taken a step back, whereas the Fever are kind of trending in the opposite direction. So it's a chance for the Sky to maybe even up this series if they can find a way to get a win in Indy.
And this is the first time these two teams have played since the incident a couple of weeks back with Kennedy Carter, of course, yep, with the call that ended up being ruled a flagrant after the game, where Kennedy Carter bumped, of course, Caitlin Clark on an off-ball play on the inbounds. And, you know, you wonder, are we going to see anything like that in this game today? How's the physicality going to be on both sides of the floor? What type of defensive attention is Caitlin Clark going to get? We know she always is the focal point of every team she goes against as far as stopping her, because she's the best player for the Fever. But that to me is the storyline, right? Like, when you watch these two teams go at it, of course you have the storyline you brought up with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark as the favorites, of course, for the Rookie of the Year award. But first time these two teams are playing since that incident that kind of started this national discourse these last couple of weeks surrounding Caitlin Clark. So that's what I'm watching for, the defense and the physicality we see from, you know, Chicago against Indiana on Clark.
Yeah, well, I tell you, it's going to be interesting to see, like you said, the defense that's going to be played on Clark and kind of how the Sky are going to approach this. But I tell you what, they better make sure that they pay attention to number 7, because Aaliyah Boston is absolutely balling out of control. She is taking names. I had an opportunity to watch her against the Atlanta Dream, who, of course, have a game this afternoon, a rematch against the Los Angeles Sparks. It's one of the three games in the W today, and she's just having an amazing season so far. And they're going to have to take into account as well, this Chicago Sky team's going to have to take into account as well, Kelsey Mitchell, because she's also having a great season. And I think this Fever team is really kind of finding a way to put it together. And to your point, Caitlin Clark is kind of finding a way to put it together as well, because we're really seeing her surge. She's now the second player in WNBA history with 200 points, 80 assists through the first 15 games. Sue Bird, of course, the first to do it back in 2002. And so just looking at her starting to put together her W resume, that is much more comprehensive than just, hey, I'm just going to shoot and score, but finding that it's important to get her teammates involved, I think, as well. But Angel Reese, when you talk about the defensive side of the ball, you're absolutely right, Jake. She's 5 straight double-doubles, and what she's been able to do just in terms of two-way play, when the games that Chicago has won or the games they've been in it, it's because she's been keeping them there.
No doubt. And shout out to Sue Bird, by the way, the pride of Syosset, Long Island, where I'm from. Her mom was my school nurse growing up, so I had to give some love to Sue Bird. Yeah, big fan of Sue Bird for obvious reasons. So pretty cool stat to see Caitlin Clark lumped in with that. But you're right. And look, this is the type of game that I think is really good for the WNBA from a big picture standpoint. I think, you know, there was a lot of debate on whether or not, you know, the incident with Caitlin Clark was, you know, good or bad for the league, or if it should be allowed to happen, if the league needs to step in and protect its superstar player and all that. But it got us talking about the WNBA, and now there's way more attention on this league because of that incident. And I think a perfect example is here on Father's Day, you have a WNBA game that's being played on linear CBS. So
yes,
there should be a big rating for this, great exposure for the league. And you know, just watching, you know, the first couple minutes of this game here, the crowd is super into it. There's not an open seat in the house. So, you know, there's no debate that this rivalry and, of course, the Caitlin Clark effect is real, bringing attention and really just putting people in the seats on Father's Day here.
Indeed, and not just that, but also to your point on linear programming, you've got another situation, or another game rather, not situation, but you'll see the Seattle Storm taking on the Phoenix Mercury on ABC, and that's another big matchup because Seattle's really playing well of late too. So, and then of course, like we mentioned on ESPN3, you can catch the Atlanta Dream versus the Los Angeles Sparks. But yeah, a lot of good matchups today, a lot of good basketball that's going to be played in the W that you can check out. But you make a great point too, Jake, about how the eyeballs come to the W these days, and really, I guess, women's basketball, if you would, overall, because as soon as you think you've kind of put one thing to rest, one controversy to rest, then another controversy comes back up. So like you said, there was the controversy with the whole Kennedy Carter foul on Caitlin Clark, and there's still controversy about Caitlin Clark, among other WNBA players that did not make the Olympics team. And the Dallas Wings guard Arike Ogunbowale told the Nightcap podcast just Thursday that she took her name out of the pool for the women's basketball Olympic team months ago, but she does think that politics goes into the selection of the squad. And I feel like it's one of those things where, although that squad has been selected, and although the Olympics committee finally came out with a little bit of verbiage and feedback and insight as to what their criteria are for choosing Olympians, I feel like, especially as Caitlin starts to get steam as the top rookie of the year candidate, that there's still a lot of conversation and commentary around the selections for that Olympics team.
Yeah, and I'm still just disappointed with what ultimately happened there, because, you know, I always go back to the fact the Dream Team had Christian Laettner on it, and no one looks back at that Dream Team and says, well, how could you allow Laettner to be on it? No, we talk about that Dream Team like it's one of the greatest basketball teams, if not the best basketball team ever put together. And the U.S. Women's Olympics team, they could win with or without Caitlin Clark. And it's not like Caitlin Clark doesn't belong to be on the team, as you just hit a big three as I'm saying that here. She's played well. We gave the stat on what she's already accomplished in the league that hasn't been done since Sue Bird. I just think, you know, from, you know, a global standpoint of growing the game and getting people to continue to talk about women's hoops, it would have been so beneficial for her to be on the team. And I get it, you know, the objective's to win and you want to just hand someone a spot, but Laettner was handed a spot because those were the rules back then. You had to have one college player and it didn't matter. Caitlin Clark, to me, is deserving of being on this team. And I know the question is, well, who do you take off? But I just think you find a way to include her because she does so much good for the sport, and she's playing well and only going to get better for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, she does. And I think the only caveat I would say is when we look back at the Dream Team back in 1992, arguably the most recognizable and known Olympics team in the world ever, they didn't have a lot of bump in marketing and revenue for the NBA just because of that team. Like, what the NBA actually bumped from, I think it was like $1 million to $3 million, which is like pennies now, right, Jake, on the dollar. But it was way more about what that team did back home before they actually played in Barcelona versus what they did in Barcelona. So I know a lot of people say, hey, it would be great for marketing, if you will. But I think in this case, they just decided that, hey, when you look at the guard play and you look at the depth at guard, it's really just difficult to figure out, unless it would have been like a Chelsea Gray, if the injury would have prevented her from possibly playing, who would you take off that team to say, hey, we'd put Caitlin Clark on that team in their place. But here's a good thing. If they are selected as All-Stars, meaning Ogunbowale and Clark, they could still have a chance to be Olympians before they go to Paris. Of course, the All-Star game is going to be in Phoenix on July 20th. So that's an opportunity where maybe there could be a potential reset. It's ESPN Radio, and it's Sunday morning. You can catch us on the ESPN app as well as on Sirius XM Channel 80. We, of course, are talking about the big game over on CBS today, starting off the WNBA slate of games today, and that is the Indiana Fever and the Chicago Sky. You got to love what they're going to be able to do. I think it's going to be very compelling. I think it's a very interesting game. Like we said before, it's the opportunity for the Fever to show that they are a team that's coming up and they're a team that looks to be competitive as the WNBA continues to move along in the season. And I think it's the Chicago Sky team that needs to reset as well, because they started off the season, Jake, really in a space where they were looking like they could be competitive, and now they've fallen off these last couple of games. So I think it's a great opportunity for them to kind of show what they're worth. And of course, the Fever have taken an early lead, 13-8, halfway through that first quarter, with Angel Reese 2 points, two boards, and Caitlin Clark with 7 points and one assist. So yeah, already, Jake, we're seeing that they are trying to put their stamp on this game early.
And I love this from Caitlin, right? Because so much talk coming in is, well, how's she going to respond? The attention she's going to get? It's Kennedy Carter again. What type of defense are going to play on Caitlin? And she's just like, yeah, doesn't bother me. I'm going to come out, hit a deep step back three, which she just did as we were talking. And then she's had a couple of driving buckets as well. So 7 points and assists already. Caitlin Clark looks just fine going up against Angel Reese so far in this one.
Yeah, CeCe looking like she's doing CeCe things, and Angel doing the same. Coming up next, we have two teams trying to fight back. But which team has a better chance to do it? We'll tell you next on ESPN Radio and ESPN the app.
Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN Radio.
Let's go!
AL East leading New York Yankees storm into Fenway Park to go head-to-head with the Boston Red Sox.
Crushes one over the monster.
Coverage begins tomorrow at 6 Eastern, with first pitch at 7:15 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. Matt and Myron, the podcast.
As the number and severity of third-party breaches continue to rise, companies are increasingly vigilant, not just about how they handle their own data, but how their vendors do as well. For security and compliance leaders, this means more security reviews are coming across your desk every day, and valuable time is being wasted on manual security reviews. With Vanta Questionnaire Automation, security and compliance teams can complete security reviews up to 5 times faster, giving you time back to focus on running your security and compliance programs. Over 8,000 global companies like ZoomInfo, SmartRecruiters, and Noibu use Vanta to save time on security reviews. Visit Vanta.com/podcast to learn more about questionnaire automation. That's VANTA.com/podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds lower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Kendrick Lamar may have actually won the battle, but I still like the song by Drake. Just saying, Jake, just saying. Sunday morning on a Sunday afternoon on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can catch up with us and chat with us at 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. And Jake, we have a little bit of a conundrum here. I mean, this was an interesting and intriguing, some might call it a cray-cray weekend across sports, when you look at the fact that the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final were the same situation. We could have had two sweeps for all intents and purposes had the Boston Celtics or the Florida Panthers taking care of business, but neither did. And so the Dallas Mavericks made it interesting with a blowout win, a 38-point win to be exact, against the Boston Celtics on Friday night. And then the Edmonton Oilers turned around and did a blowout version of their own on the ice against the Florida Panthers with that 8-1 win that you saw right here on ABC. Now, of course, Monday you can catch Game 5 at 8:30 Eastern time on ABC. The Celtics, of course, now owned a 3-1 lead in that best of seven series. And on Tuesday, come back, because on ABC and ESPN Plus, you can see whether or not this Florida Panthers team is actually going to end it, or whether the Oilers can extend that series as well. But Jake, my friend, I ask you the question of the Dallas Mavericks, of the Edmonton Oilers, which team do you feel has the better chance to come back from being down 0-3?
I'm taking Edmonton, because I just think hockey is just sometimes just more random. It's also happened more in hockey. It's happened 4 times where a team has been able to come back down 3-0. So you have that. And also, Edmonton seemingly has the best player in the series, best player in the world, in Connor McDavid, who with his performance last night, you know, we spoke with Greg Wyshynski earlier in the show, and he said some of the writers were talking about, hey, you know, if Edmonton maybe pushes this series to six, maybe seven, and they don't even end up winning, could Connor McDavid still be voted, you know, the Conn Smythe winner, which is the MVP of the playoffs? Like, that's how well he had been playing, and of course, he wasn't great in the first couple games, but then he started to play a lot better that last period that they made it close in game three, and then they put up eight goals in game number four last night, and he had 4 points in the big win. So because they have him, because of the fact that hockey is seemingly a little more random with puck luck and certain things going a certain way, I would take Edmonton. That being said, I still don't think either one of these teams, Edmonton or Dallas, is going to pull it off. But if I had to pick one, because that's the question, I'm going with the Oilers.
Fair enough. And, you know, I go with the Mavs, but I almost put an asterisk on it because I have a little bit of trouble, but for all intents and purposes, just to kind of make the point of if the Mavs can do it, how would they do it? And I think it's probably a situation where more of the Celtics, what they don't do versus maybe what the Mavs do, because I think this is one of those where Jason Kidd has been trying to plant seeds in the mentals of the C's since before game one, right? And even some of the things that were said post-game after the game four win, they're trying to see if they can get into the heads of these Boston Celtics. Because let's face it, in the run for like the last eight seasons, I think when they've gone to what, the Eastern Conference Finals, six of the last eight seasons, the reason that they either get to the NBA Finals and don't win at all, or don't even get out of the Conference Finals, is because of what goes on with them mentally. It's like mental lapses that we see. They're not utilizing their basketball IQ. They are living and dying by the three-pointer and can't figure out how to maybe reset and play the game inside out. So I feel like if the Celtics are more of the Celtics that we saw that dug a hole in 2023 against the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals, or the Celtics that we saw in the years before that just could not seem to figure out how to get over the hump, I think that the Mavs have enough killer instinct in Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. And if they can get it back to Dallas for game six, they've got players that really stepped up and got back to who they were, like a Derek Lively the second, like a Dan Gafford. Those guys actually got back to playing. And even a Tim Hardaway had some solid minutes there as well. If they can get it back to Dallas for game six, I see that they can win it. You just never know what might happen in a game seven, because Jake, let's face it, game seven of the Eastern Conference Finals last year was in Boston, and Miami found a way to win. So there's no reason to think that maybe, possibly, this Mavs team could do the same.
Well, the way that they won, the Mavs won game three, or the way they won game four, it was kind of why I thought the series would go at least six. Like, I figured there would be a game or two where Boston, as great as they are, they would just have a poor night shooting, and that's kind of what happened, and it snowballed with Dallas playing as well as they did. But Boston, I mean, and you alluded to this, they are so heavily reliant on the three-point ball. And look, that's today's NBA, but when you live by the three, sometimes you could die by the three, and when you shoot that poorly and the other team kind of gets hot, you could see what happened in game four where it snowballs. I expect Boston to shoot a lot better than just 14 of 41 from three-point range, though, in this game tomorrow night, which is why I think they find a way to close it out at home and do it in five. And we're looking back on the series and saying, oh, you know, it's just a classic gentleman's sweep. You know, that said, though, Dallas is really playing with house money. No one's going to pick them. They're close to a 7.5, 8-point underdog on ESPN Bet right now going into this one. So, you know, when you kind of have no expectations and you could play freely, you know, that helps the team that has nothing to lose. All the pressure's on Boston, because all of a sudden, say they don't win, they go back to Dallas, and it's like, uh-oh, Dallas at home, they win that. Anything happens in a game seven. And Boston knows firsthand that just because you're down 3-0 doesn't mean the series is automatically over. As you already said, they forced the game seven against Miami last year. So,
indeed.
Look, I think it ends tomorrow, if I'm being honest, but yeah. I mean, believe me, I'm all about the Mavs. I'm rooting for Dallas to beat Boston. So I hope it's at least a good game. I mean, you know, Dallas won game four, but we didn't get to really enjoy it. It was a blowout. The game was over. You knew at halftime that it was basically, you know, that's all, folks. We're moving on to game five.
Exactly. And most of the people that I ran into this past 24 hours or 48 hours, they were saying the same, like, dang, it was a blowout. But then they were kind of excited because they thought to themselves, well, the Celtics will probably still win. And these are like Celtics haters. A lot of people that I ran into were from New York, kind of like, you know, you, Jake, where it's like, I can't root for the C's, but the reality is they'll probably win the series. So at least we got to see them kind of blown out one time. And hey, look, the history speaks for itself. And all best of seven series teams that are 156-0. They're 156-0 all-time when leading 3-0. So that stat is what it is. But on that same token, we know that just as you and I refuse to talk about that thing that happened in Major League Baseball many years ago, it's
don't
bound
know what
to
you're
happen.
Talking about.
Don't, exactly. We are having selective amnesia, and Jake and I have the right to do it if we want to. But ultimately speaking, you know it's going to happen in basketball at some point. The question just becomes, is this Dallas Mavericks team as currently constructed the team that's better built to do it, or is the Edmonton Oilers team with the best player in all of hockey the team that's constructed currently with a Connor McDavid at the helm be able to be that team that does it? If you want to chime in and let us know which team you think has a better chance to come back from a 3-0 deficit, be sure to give us a call at 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Tanitra Batiste along with Jake Asman here with you on a Father's Day afternoon. And, you know, the other thing I think makes me kind of have a question about it is this. I think I'd mentioned to you before we started the show that I too had called the Celtics in six, but it makes me kind of wonder, will it go to six? So for you, Jake, this series ends in game five if what happens, and it ends in game six or goes to game six if what happens?
I think it just comes down to the shooting of the Celtics. I think if Boston has their average three-point shooting-like performance, I think they win because they're better. I think if they shoot poorly and Dallas is able to go out there and play similarly to the way they did in game four, where Luka goes off right away and you could tell he was confident and then he kind of got rolling, I think that maybe it does get to a game six. But to me, Boston, I mean, they will play like they have played for basically most of this you know, playoff run and certainly regular season. They'll shoot better and they'll find a way to get it done.
Indeed. And how do those Celtics win their 18th title? We're definitely going to talk about it coming up. What do they need to do to hoist that 18th banner? That's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Matt and Myron, the podcast.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Traveling to see your fave sports team is cool, but traveling with Amex Platinum for the big game is even better.
Right this way.
With access to dedicated card member entrances at select events, you can skip the line.
And one.
And with access to the Centurion Lounge,
he shoots a three.
You can catch the next game on the way home. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Card member entrance access not limited to Amex Platinum card.
The Dallas Mavericks down to their final loss of the finals. Yeah, they didn't get swept, and they put down a 38-point beatdown on the Boston Celtics. The finals remains alive.
Took long enough, you know, for all of us to get to the party together and to play for each other the way we did tonight. But it's definitely a possibility that we can replicate it. But we understand that we're going against the same great Boston team that's going to make it tough.
It can be replicated, Kyrie Irving, but will it be replicated is the question. It's Sunday morning here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Reach out to me, Tanitra Batiste, along with Jake Asman at 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. So, Jake, the question is, how do the Celtics win their 18th title? And, you know, it's like Kyrie Irving said in that clip, it's a possibility that they can reset and remix and redo what it is that we saw them do, the Mavs, in game four. But honestly, they've got to get over a serious historical hump in the fact that teams are 156-0 all time when leading 3-0. Now, granted, here's an interesting stat that our producer Nick Carty dropped in the chat. Mavs are actually outscoring the Celtics 408-402 in the series, even with Boston up 3-1, and the Mavericks are the third team to trail 3-1 in the finals while having a positive points differential, joining the 63 Lakers versus Celtics, 48 Warriors versus Bullets. All of that said, Jake, does it even matter?
History would say no, right? I mean, history will tell you no chance. It's never happened before, but there always has to be a first, so that's what you got to point to if you're a Mavericks fan. And the other thing that's worth reiterating, you know, typically in NBA history, the team with the best player on the court wins the series. Now, this is unique because I think Boston has proven that they're the better team, and there was a reason why they were up 3-0 in the first place. But Luka Doncic is capable, as we saw in Game 4, being the best player in a given game. And if he does it again tomorrow night, they're going to have a chance to win. I think it's as simple as that. And honestly, we saw this for a lot of Game 1. I thought Luka was pretty good, but then really just no one else besides him stepped up in that game. I think it's a combination of you need Luka to be Luka. Like, that's got to be a given. And you're going to need Kyrie Irving, I think, to play a big-time performance. Because they say your role players typically play better at home. Well, Kyrie's a star. He's familiar with the NBA Finals. He's certainly familiar of playing in Boston. He didn't play well in really the first two games of this series, especially Game 1. They need him, I think, to show up tomorrow night to give him a chance. If he plays well and Luka plays anywhere close to what he just gave you in Game 4, it should be a game. And you know what? If you're the Mavs, you sign up for a chance to win in the fourth quarter tomorrow night and take your best chance.
Yeah, and it should be a game if Doncic shows up the same, if Irving shows up the same. But like Jason Kidd says, if everyone shows up the same and executes the game plan to perfection.
Yeah, no doubt. And then, you know, you look at Kristaps Porzingis, too. I mean, with his injury situation, I mean, you know, if he doesn't play all of a sudden, hey, you know, maybe it's possible for this series to be extended another game.
Yeah, and I'm sure Jason Kidd would love nothing other than for this series to be extended to another game. But he knows that if that is to happen, to your point, Jake, whether Kristaps Porzingis comes back or not, it's really about whether or not this Mavericks team as a whole is able to do what they did again in Game 5.
We had to play our A game. It was this or we go on vacation. So I thought the group did a great job of not pressing, letting the game happen. The flow was there. We've done this in the first three games. It's just we haven't been able to capitalize. We've made the mistakes and they've capitalized on it. They shot the three well. We tried to keep them off the free throw line tonight and not giving them second opportunities. So I thought they did a really good job of being able to execute the game plan and let the game come to us. We made some shots. Finally, you know, our role players stepped up and made some threes, and that's what we needed tonight.
You know, Jake, it's interesting because he talked about playing perfectly. This was actually technically the second game that the Mavs played perfectly, but they didn't get a win in the first game that they played, quote unquote, to perfection because, and of course, we do know that the Celtics had a lights out third quarter. There's that. But I think ultimately speaking with the Celtics, if you don't play a perfect game completely, then that's an opportunity for them to win. Also, if they don't play a perfect game completely, it's an opportunity for them to win. So I think it's one of those situations where is there a way, let me ask you, kind of flipping that question a little bit, is there a way for this Mavericks team to quote-unquote not play perfectly and still actually win Game 5 and take this back to Dallas?
I mean, if Boston just has like a terrible shooting night, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's going to be tough. I mean, if you go back to Game 1, though, like what allowed Boston – you know, to win the way they did. I mean, Porzingis basically scored a point a minute. No one had that in his first game back. Game two was close. You know, it looked like it was headed towards being a blowout. And then all of a sudden, well, you know, you had a great run, great comeback attempt by Dallas that fell short. But it was a legitimate game. Porzingis is probably questionable at best, you know, to have any real impact in this one tomorrow night. So, like, you could come up with a path for this game to go towards the Mavericks' direction. But I always look at the betting odds, and there's a reason why, you know, the odds have it Celtics 7.5-point favorites going into this one tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's the old adage, and Jake, I hope I say this the right way, Jake Asman, Tanitra Batiste here with you on Sunday morning on ESPN Radio. But there's an adage that I believe says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And I think Jaylen Brown is basically saying they understand the assignment in Boston. You're not going to fool them again because they've learned the lesson.
We learn from it. We take it. We don't dismiss it. We're going to learn from it. We're going to see how and why. Exactly where, you know, the game was won and lost. And then we take those experiences and then we come out and we play like our life depends on it because it does.
Yeah, Jake, that's the desperation that I talked about earlier that I didn't hear from Jason Tatum in the post-game press conference after Game 3 that I wanted to hear. I hear it in Jaylen Brown's voice, and I think that is also something where you and I have spoken about it throughout the show, where they can pull back from their experience last year where they almost pulled it off in Game 7, enforcing that series to be extended with the Miami Heat. And they understand, get this done or else you might be the team that's on the wrong side of history.
You don't want to tempt fate. You know, when you can, when you can end a series, do it. Because here's the other thing that happens too, and we saw this, you know, just a couple of years ago in 2019 with the Raptors. Like, then injuries become a part of it. Like, it's a war of attrition as well. Golden State suffered some catastrophic injuries in that series, which allowed ultimately Toronto to win in that Kawhi Leonard year. You know, if you go back to, you know, the incredible comeback that LeBron and Kyrie Irving had,
the
3-1 year, Draymond Green got suspended for game 5 of that series. Who knows what would have happened if he was available. So, you know, the longer it goes, there's an injury, a suspension, something could happen that could change the outcome of a series. So if you got a chance to close it out at home tomorrow, like Boston does, you do it. You win your 18th title. You don't tempt fate of having to get back on a plane and go down to Dallas for a game 6, because, you know, there's a saying in sports, anything happens in a game 7. If it gets to a game 7, you get off to a slow start if you're Boston in that game, and then the crowd's completely out of it. They're nervous, thinking, oh, my God, we're going to blow this. And you don't want to just tempt fate. So I think Boston wins, but they better win, because all of a sudden it goes back to game 6. Then you start to think, hey, maybe, just maybe, something crazy could happen here.
Yeah, I think that the Celtics need to go ahead and close this out as well. Obviously, as a Hoops fan, of course you want more ball. But at the end of the day, if you are a Celtics fan, you darn sure don't want any more ball, because the more you play, the more you also give some of those young players confidence that, hey, we're right there. So you give a Derek Lively the second or a PJ Washington the thought that, hey, we can actually make this happen. Like, we can get this. And you think about even them giving an opportunity, getting a guy like a Dan Gafford at the trade deadline, and you're thinking, okay, this is why you bring him in, and he's hungry. And there's a guy, like you said, named Kyrie Irving, who in a historical situation, maybe not down 3-0, but still a 3-1 situation, knows what it looks like to mount a comeback that results in getting a championship. So I think having him there to be able to speak to what that looks like, if you're not careful and you let this Dallas Mavericks team get back in it and continue to gain confidence, we could very well be having this same conversation that we never thought we'd have in Major League Baseball, the same conversation that we've not actually had in recent memory in NHL play. We could be having that conversation finally in the NBA if we're not careful. But I would say this, if we look at Game 5, and let's just say the Mavericks shock the world and they actually win it, what do they do? Like, they get to Game 6, right? And they get it back to Dallas. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to kind of see how the Boston Celtics bounce back. And then my question would be, how in the world do the Celtics end it in Game 6 if they let it get back to Dallas?
Yeah, the pressure starts to shift. And you know what? You know, we brought up that series that Kyrie was a part of with LeBron with that Cavs team that pulled off the 3-1 comeback. Well, now it's 3-1 right now. And if you remember, in Game 5 of that series, I think LeBron and Kyrie Irving each scored 41 points apiece in that one. And that graphic is still used as memes all the time when you have a great, like, dynamic duo performance. So, I mean, look, if Dallas goes out there tomorrow and Luka plays really well and Kyrie goes out there and has, like, another Game 5-like performance that he had in the finals not that long ago, it feels like a while ago, but if you think about it, I mean, Kyrie Irving obviously has experience playing in these big games. It is possible. Luka's got to play a little LeBron role. Kyrie's got to be Kyrie from 2015 all over again, and it can be done. So I think the Celtics just have to shoot a lot better than they did in Game 4, and they should be fine. But, you know, the Porzingis injury, that's a big deal, because he was a big reason why they won one of the first two games of the series. And he didn't play at all in Game 4, but we'll see what his availability is, if there is an availability for him at all in Game 5.
Coming up next, we give you our picks for the biggest events today. That's next on ESPN Radio and ESPN the app.
The NBA Finals on ESPN Radio. The Mavs survive a must-win. Now the series returns to Boston. Can they survive yet again?
When he's quarter, when he's possession, take it game by game, play by play.
Coverage of Game 5 begins tomorrow at 7:30 Eastern, with tip-off at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ABC. Presented by Indeed. Matt and Myron, the podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the all-electric Prologue SUV, there's a lot that can impress you about it. There's the generous passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit honda.com/EV to see offers.
Whether you're ordering wings for the game, whipping up a 7-layer dip, or ordering pizza, there's something about football that makes you want to eat. And this football season, Uber Eats has the best deals on game day food. No matter what you're craving, from 2-for-1 pizza to buy one, get one wings, Uber Eats will be dropping new deals each week, all season long. Uber Eats, official on-demand delivery partner of the NFL. Order now. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can reach us at 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Tanitra Batiste along with Jake Asman, wrapping up our Father's Day edition of Sunday Morning, and it is time for Take Your Pick.
Take your pick.
You take your pick.
It's time to take your pick on Sunday Morning.
All right, guys. Before I do this, let me just say, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com. I've always wanted to do that. So,
well done. I'm proud of you.
Baby, it's your chance, Mikey.
All right, let's start off with the big golf tournament there, Pinehurst number 2, U.S. Open. You got Bryson, I can never say it. You got DeChambeau in the lead at -7. Rory's -4. Patrick Cantlay -4. Who do you guys, you got DeChambeau holding on, Rory winning. Who do you think is going to take the U.S. Open today?
Yeah. For me, and I know this doesn't sound, this is like heart versus head, I just want it for Rory McIlroy. Like, a decade is a long time to have a drought for a major, and it's literally been since 2014 since Rory McIlroy's been able to get a major. So, tied for second, like you said, at 4-under right now, and he is threatening to take over the lead over Bryson DeChambeau. So, hopefully he'll be able to get it done.
Bryson's been fun to watch during this tournament, just the way he's interacting with the fans, too. Some of the stuff he's putting out on social media. So I'm rooting for him. I gotta be honest. I like DeChambeau. I like the fact that he seemingly is unbothered by a lot of the stuff that people have said about him over the years, and he's playing really well. It should be fun. It's a really good leaderboard as far as some of the notable names that are in contention going into the final day, which is what you want if you're the PGA Tour and you're the U.S. Open.
And you don't have a Tiger Woods who's in contention. So, yeah, true.
I love how you guys say Bryson. Like, it's so easy to say. Okay, let's go to the WNBA. Game in progress. You got the Sky at the Fever tied at 42 with a minute left in the second half. Who do you think is going to take this game, Jake?
Going with Caitlin Clark and the Fever. Why not? Caitlin started off strong. First quarter, she came out quickly. 7 points and a couple threes. Back and forth game so far. Fever are at home. They won the last time they played. Now give me Indiana in this matchup.
Yeah, I kind of have to go in that same direction just because for Chicago, it's going to be about defense, and that's been a challenge for them in their struggles these last, I think, four losses in 5 games or something to that effect. But ultimately speaking, if it's just going to be a track meet, then, yeah, I've got to give that to the Indiana Fever, and not just because of what Caitlin Clark's been able to do, but Kelsey Mitchell's out early with 10 points, Aliyah Boston with 8 points. And listen, when she decides to take over a game, Aliyah Boston does, that's game over. And so I'm thinking if, three of your starters are pretty much in double figures – and we're not even to halftime yet, and the Sky aren't looking to play defense, I'm going to have to give it to the Fever.
All right, 3 o'clock today on ABC. You guys mentioned it earlier. Seattle Storm at Phoenix Mercury with Diana Taurasi. Who you got in this one, Tanitra?
Got to go with the Seattle Storm. They are absolutely playing. They're playing very, very good basketball right now. And I think that it's one of those things where, well, first of all, can I just say this? I'm excited that we're actually having conversation about the W, and we're talking about a wonderful slate of games. It also includes a nice rematch between the Atlanta Dream and the Los Angeles Sparks this afternoon. They played earlier this season. But, yeah, I think it's one of those where Skylar Diggins-Smith is having a solid season. She's leading Seattle. They're going against Phoenix after she had a 21-point game, so I'm just going to give it to the Storm to take it, even though they're playing that game. I think in Phoenix, I give it to the Storm.
Don't know too much about these teams, but I do know the Storm have the better record. I do know the Storm are favored to win, so I'm making the chalk pick. Give me the Seattle Storm in this one.
All right, let's head over to the baseball diamond. Full slate of games, but Tanitra, I know you're a Braves fan, so let's do the Braves game. You got At 1:30, the Tampa Bay Rays at Atlanta Braves. Braves on a three-game home winning streak. And your guy, Hurston Waldrop's on the mound again, Tanisha. Go ahead. What do you got for this one, Tanisha?
Yeah, I'm excited because we haven't had a lot in Braves country to talk about that's positive. Hey, I know the Rays aren't the greatest team to actually get a sweep against, but a sweep is a sweep is a sweep. So if they get it, I'm excited about it. I think they can do it, and I think it'll give Hurston Waldrop an opportunity to get a second start, a quality second start for him, and really kind of bolster what's going on with the pitching rotation with this Braves team.
Going with the Braves as well. I know they had a five-game losing streak, and they're seemingly coming out of it here. So they're playing a lot better. Rays are, I don't think, as bad maybe as the record indicates with them being five games below 500. But it seems like Atlanta's back on track. You know, I picked Atlanta to go to the World Series before the year started. So I'm riding the Braves. Give me the Braves in this one.
All right. Later tonight, Sunday Night Baseball, 7 o'clock on ESPN. You got the Yankees at the Red Sox. Marcus Stroman versus Cutter Crawford. Who you got, Jake?
And on ESPN Radio.
That's true.
That's right. The New York Yankees. Yeah, the Yankees have won most of their series this year. They didn't play great yesterday. Carlos Rodon, you know, a bit of a, you know, an off outing for him. But Stroman's been really good this year, 6-2, the ERA below 3. I just have a lot of faith in this Yankees team bouncing back. They won the first game of the series Friday night. I think they respond to the loss yesterday. They get it done, and they take 2 out of 3 in the first regular season meeting against this Red Sox team.
Yeah, you can't be asking two Yanks fans what we think about what's going to happen tonight, especially against the Boston Red Sox. Of course, not that I care who's on the mound, because honestly, I'm still going to give it to the Yankees regardless. But I do agree with you, Jake. I don't think this is a series where we'll see anything but a win tonight and be there for a win of the series.
All right, let's do the big games this week. Of course, tomorrow night, 8:30 on ABC and ESPN Radio, Game 5. Mavericks at Celtics. Do the Mavericks keep this going, Tanitra?
I don't think so. I think that it was, I'm going to call it an anomaly. I think it was one of those where the Celtics just kind of were sleepwalking through that game, but I think they understand the assignment. They know what this looks like and how a team gets it to a Game 7 because that's what they did last year, and they don't want to be on the wrong side of history, as I've said over and over today. I do think the Celtics get back to playing Celtics ball. I think we're going to see Jrue Holiday do the same thing and Al Horford do the same thing that they were able to do in earlier in the series in terms of setting the tone defensively. And I think we're going to also see better two-way play from Jalen and Jason. This series ends in 5.
I agree. I think Boston shoots way better than they did in Game 4. I think it was just an off night, and that's one of the reasons why I felt like it would be a bit of a longer series, because one of those games, maybe two of those games, would happen. But Boston's back at home. I think they respond to the blowout. They've responded to tough losses all year. Yes. They haven't had that many losses all year. I think they're the better team. I think the Celtics win their 18th championship tomorrow night.
All right, and then Tuesday, another one on ABC at 8 o'clock. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, Oilers at Panthers. Does Edmonton keep Canada's hope of bringing a cup home to our neighbors up north, Jake?
America's hat. Yes. You know what? Why not? Let's go Oilers. I'm inspired by the two kids that chose to go to the game yesterday instead of their prom. They're going to be the reason why this series turns around with the big win. And look, the way Connor McDavid is now all of a sudden playing, you know, the way Edmonton has played, right? Let's not forget, yes, they won in blowout fashion last night, but they played really well in the third period of Game 3 and almost mounted a comeback in that one. Hockey's a little weird. I could see this series being extended a little while longer, still like Florida to win, but give me Edmonton to at least make it interesting. They'll win Game 5, and we'll see what happens from that point forward.
Make it 2 for 2, because I'm going to go with the Edmonton Oilers as well. And maybe it's a little bit of selfishness on my part because I want to see the Stanley Cup final extended. But ultimately, seems like a little puck luck is going in the favor of these Edmonton Oilers. So, yeah, I take them in Game 5, and I think they're going to do it. And I think they take this at least back to Canada for one more game.
All right, we could squeeze in one more. You guys mentioned it before at 3 o'clock. L.A. Sparks and my favorite player, Cameron Brink, versus the Atlanta Dream and Tina Charles. Can you pick this one, Tanisha? Are you calling this one?
Are you kidding me? I'm calling it, so guess who I'm picking. Okay. I'm picking the Atlanta Dream. I'm on the call this afternoon along with Angel Gray and Autumn Johnson. But I am also picking it as well because the Dream played a really good game against the Sparks earlier, and I think that they are ready to reset and get back on track at home.
I can't pick against your team, Tanisha. Let's go.
Thank you, Jake.
I'm rocking with Atlanta just because of you.
I love it. I love it. And I also love the opportunity to have co-hosted with you today, Jake. It's been an absolute pleasure here on Sunday morning. And coming up next, you got Aaron Goldhammer. You got David Dennis Jr. on Game Day. That's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And might I say to all the amazing fathers out there, happy Father's Day to you.
Hey, it's Michelle Smallman, and coming up Monday, NBA, NHL, and of course, Major League Baseball, I'll tell you all the small things that caught my attention this weekend at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. It's on Sportsmanlike, 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and ESPNU.
Thanks for listening to Matt and Myron, the podcast. You can listen to the show live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. Matt and Myron, the podcast. From ESPN Podcast and Omaha Productions.
Ready? Here we go.
Coach is a new groundbreaking educational football podcast hosted by NFL legends Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia, and Michael Lombardi. In each episode, the coaches break down game-changing situations and front office management tactics, sharing insights from decades of coaching experience and opening up the Bill Belichick Encyclopedia of Football Knowledge. Created by football legends for football fans. New episodes of Coach drop weekly. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.